Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in Luke chapter number 24 and verse 35. I'm going to read one verse for you today. I'll be in several different places, and pray this will be a help to you. And Luke 24 and 35, just for time's sake, I'm going to read one verse. And I want to try to preach this morning on this thought, breaking bread. Breaking bread. Now, it's probably going to go down a different road than you're anticipating right now, but if you'll bear with me just a little bit, I think the Lord's going to show us something here in His Scripture. You found Luke 24 and 35, shout amen. Amen. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the day, and for these that have come out, Lord, and I can't feed them without you. So I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd feed your flock this morning by the blessed word of God. And if there's a lost one here, Lord, I would that you'd save them. Been a while since someone come, Lord, forward and claim Christ as Savior. We're praying, Lord, that might happen today. The Holy Ghost would deal with their heart, show them their sin, reveal unto them a risen Savior, and let them know, as Randy said, that they can know tonight when they pillow their head that they're saved by the grace of God. I pray that you'd bless this word, fill my mouth and guard my tongue, what I preach to the glory of my Christ. I have no other reason to be here. When you're through with me, Lord, call me home, and I'll come to where you are. And I'll bless you for all you've done and all you're going to do. And I ask it in my King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, last week was concerning who done the crucifying and the death. But at Calvary, here's what they had seen. They'd seen a lamb that was slain. They had seen a lamb that was slain. They'd seen a rose that was broken. The rose of Sharon had bowed his lovely head and declared, "It is finished." They'd seen this. They'd seen Christ Jesus killed on a rugged cross. Now, men couldn't have done it. I tried to preach last week that I think it's the love of God that crucified Christ. And maybe everybody didn't agree with that, but that's why he so loved the world that's why he died, praise God. But listen, when we get to this passage of Scripture here, it's Sunday morning. The lamb's become a lion, bless God. He's not the slaughtered lamb, the sacrificial lamb. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah when we see him here. Listen, this is post-Calvary. This is post-resurrection. This is the power of God demonstrated in the body of the risen Savior. Listen, he was this. He was the rose that bloomed. It wasn't broken anymore. Hallelujah to the lamb. They thought they'd done away with that rose, and the bud looked like it had been broken off. But bless God, the Sharon rose bloomed again. And the King conquered death. He's victorious over death and hell. And someone said he went to hell and got the keys. I disagree with that. I don't think he ever lost the key. He's the one that made it. Do you think that he forfeited that? He had the key all along, praise God. He didn't have to he didn't have to go get the key. He had the key. He still got, may I say, he still has the key. But see, we come to this place here, and they just didn't understand. Someone here today may not. They didn't understand. He had told them he was going to be crucified and resurrected. He's going to be given into the hands of the Gentiles. and is going to be raised on the third day. And he had said this over and over. The prophets had said it. Listen, he had said it himself. And you know what? They did not understand. You know, the issue in the heart of man today is this, Brother Brant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not understanding who he is and what he done. Oh, we may have heard it. They had heard it. They had lived, Brother Dennis, they had lived with him. They didn't understand it. Over and over, it's been said without understanding. That's why often you hear us say this. They came to a saving knowledge of Christ. Why is that, Brother Jimmy Pleasant? Because look, how shall I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Are we seeing this? Are we getting a little glimpse here of what this is? Even at this place, post-Calvary, post-resurrection, and you know what? They don't understand. I don't think that many of us church people today fully understand just what it is God wants for us in our lives. Now I'm going down the road right here. There's something that's going, that's shouting ground right there. But I want to ask by a raise of hands, how many thought this when I said that? You're thinking, blessing, blessing, blessing. But the blessing doesn't come in the way that we think, Mark Madden, most of the time. I've learned one or two things. I didn't start yesterday. I'm no theologian. I have no degrees. But I'm a student of the Bible. And I've learned a thing or two. And what I contemplate as being the greatest blessings of God is oftentimes not what he had in mind at all. My mind missed it by a country mile. That wasn't where the blessing was going to lie. The blessing was going to lie in the breaking, and I don't want to be broke. Yeah. Let's look at three times in Luke. Now, I'm not going to account. Brother Roger Buck asked me this morning, what about the feeding of 4,000? I said, I'm not going down that road. It's not listed in Luke, by the way. You won't find the feeding of 4,000 in Luke. But in Luke, you're going to find three times Jesus broke bread. And number one, he broke the five loaves. The five loaves. With this being understood, it's in Luke 9, 10 through 17. Don't turn there, but that's where it's located. And so here's what I want us to consider in that. When he breaks the bread, I want us to consider the supply. One point under each main point today. This is short. The supply of that bread. Now there's about 5,000 men following him out here on the hillside, not counting women and children. I'm not going to get into all the numbers there. I don't think that's relevant. The only thing about the number is to show what God can take with five and do for 5,000. That's what's relevant concerning the number right there. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking he can't do that for me, the only reason he can't do it is for your unbelief. That's why he wouldn't heal people. It was due to their unbelief. Listen, it was by the unbelief. It's lack of faith. If you want to be saved and put in the family of God today, if you believe it, you can receive it, praise God. Now, so here's what it is. Out of that 5,000, he commands them to set down in numbers of 50 and one says 100. So there's different numbers. They're in the group. It's up to 5,000 men. And here's what it is, Brother Dennis. It's whosoever will, he can have it. The only requirement, Brother Randy Weaver, is this, that they sat down where the Lord told them to be seated. I wonder if there's some in the crowd that said, I ain't sitting down. Don't tell me to to sit down. Well, if you want something to eat, you better sit down. If you'll sit down, bless God, he'll feed you. One condition, do what he said. Just sit down. You don't have to do nothing else. Something that's interesting in that is what he said to the disciples. He told them, give ye. And they thought, we don't have nothing. But the bread of life is standing right beside them. So it's a whosoever will, the supply was for whosoever will. I'll never, never, never be convinced of limited atonement. And I don't care how many degrees those guys have got. I've got to tear too many pages out of my Bible if I think atonement's limited. The only one that limits the atonement is you, my good friend. And you limit it by unbelief. So the supply was this. If you want the bread, sit down. And it was in a specific place on that hillside. Brother Grover and I and Sister Mary, and I don't know how a few others in here have been over there on that hillside. Where it's a beautiful place. They said this is right in this area. They don't know the exact spot. Somewhere in this area is where he had them sit down. And they're sitting down. The Sea of Galilee's out in front of them. It's quite a beautiful place. There they are sitting on that grassy hillside. And the King of Glory's there giving out bread and fish. The supply is this. Whosoever. And then in Luke 9 and 17. And whosoever were all filled. They didn't go away hungry. They had what they needed. He had what they needed to satisfy them that day. Brought again, Brother Brant, like the little maid in 2 Kings we're studying. This is a little lad and nobody knows his name. All he knows is he gave his lunch up. But he got back more than he gave. And he got back more than he gave. How you know that? Because it started out in one little bag and there's 12 baskets full time. He's through with it. But here it is. Here's what the Bible says. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he blessed the bread and he broke it. He blessed the bread and then he broke it. Now I'm going to say something right here and I hope you don't misunderstand me. But he had to break it a bunch to feed that many people. I mean, Brother Richard, I'm not a mathematician, but I know you can't take five loaves and split it one time, each loaf, split it one time, feed 5,000 with it. You'd be out of bread. So he had to hold that loaf. It's been blessed, but he'd peel a piece off, and he'd peel another piece off. And somebody, I don't know if you're with me, and he'd peel a piece off. And he'd peel another piece off. And every time he peeled a piece off, somebody else got blessed out of what he broke. Over and over. Till everybody's fed. Are you with me? All my years preaching, I never really considered this until last night in studying. Who knows who Jesus is represented in the book of Matthew? What's it portray him as? The king. In the book of Mark, what's he portrayed as? Servant. In the book of Luke, he's portrayed, typified, exampled as the man. In Matthew, this same feeding is recorded in all four Gospels. I want us to not just consider the supply, but quickly under this, I want us to think about the status of this bread, and it's just broken. But the bread's a picture of something. The bread's a picture of something. In Matthew, it said he blessed it and break it. In Mark, said he blessed it and break it. In Luke, said he blessed it and break it. But when you get to John, it don't say a thing about breaking the bread. Not one thing. You know what it says in John? It said he give thanks. I'm standing there scratching my head looking at it, thought, well, huh. Didn't say nothing about being broken, John. You know why? Because you can break a king. And you can break a servant. And you can break a man. But in John, he's shown his God. And you can't break God, praise the Lord. But you can give thanks. And he kept breaking it and giving it out. So in Luke 9, we see this. 10 through 17, we see the five loaves. In Luke chapter 22, we find this. We find the final supper. Some call it the last supper, the Passover. It's the final supper that he's going to have with the disciples here on earth. And I want us to consider this. We've seen the supply, but I want us to consider this concerning the final supper is the strength of the bread. In Luke 22 and 19, I use it in our communion services here every time. I use the same one. Randy used a different one last time. Brother Delmer always used Matthew. I use Luke. It doesn't make a difference. But you need to be this. The strength of that bread was to do this. It was, remember me. To remember me. And you know what he done with that bread? He blessed it. And he broke it. And what he's saying concerning that bread, this is what I am. This is my body. And I want you to do this. As often as you eat this, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. This is the thing that's broken for you. This is broken for you. And I don't know if we got it. Let me give you an illustration. If Mike McCoy were sitting on the throne and they had Dusty tied to a cross, my only son, and they'd beat him to death. Well, number one, I'd have never let it got that far. If that had been them 12,000 angels, a legion would have been there and rescued him out of the guard. I'd have never let it got that far. And then if I let it go that far and I see how beat and battered he is, they spit on him. You know what the spitting represented? It's the thing inside the man. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. And that's what they done. It came out of them, and that's representing that what's in them was rotten, and they put it on the Savior and he buried it in the ground. And if I see that and that's my son, I kill everything there but him. But God's a looking down through time and sees a bunch of ignorant hillbillies that don't have a hope without a Savior, and says this, Jacob, I'm going to die. I'm going to let my son die for your sin and my sin. Bless God that I can bring that which is unholy and make it holy and bring it back to me. The strength of that bread, remember me. Don't forget me. How can I not forget? What if I forget? You won't forget eating the bread. You will not forget eating the bread. That's why it's imperative. It's crucial. It's critical. I can't think of another adjective to describe how important it is that we feast on the bread and not forget. See, I've got to read something to you just so I don't miss a word. It isn't just the eating of the bread, but it is this, it's the efficacy of the bread. We see it in John 6 and 56, and I didn't want to leave a word out here. He that eateth my flesh, don't freak out and say he's talking about cannibalism. No. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. What is that? That is a picture of what we do at communion when we drink the cup and eat the bread. It's showing this. Listen. It is figuratively. It isn't literal. We're not going to run and cut a piece off of somebody and eat it. No, it's figurative. And we do this. What do? We eat his flesh and we drink his blood. And that has an effect on us. What does it do? Well, it's the strength of the bread. It's the strength of the bread. Again, at the supper recorded in all the Gospels, you'll find it in Matthew, you find it in Mark, you find it in Luke, but you don't find it in John. He don't tell them to do it in remembrance of him. He said, there's somebody here that's going to dip with me, and they're the very one that's going to turn me over. You see the difference in the effect? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying some take that supper and they don't know Jesus a bit more than the man in the moon. And by the way, there's no man in the moon. So therefore, they couldn't know him. He doesn't exist. But Judas is at supper. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's the final supper and the bread's broken. And he gives them a piece of it. He says, don't forget me. Don't you forget me. You remember me. You know what DJ said before he passed? I was with him quite a bit. And DJ said this, said, I hope they don't forget me. I said, we won't forget you, brother. I tell his story when I go preach revivals. People's heard about DJ Stanley far and wide. They don't have a clue who he is, but they know about him. They know about his daddy Dan that died, and to my knowledge, died and went to hell because he stood right, sat right there and would not come and kneel and call on the Lord. Final supper. You know what it could be for somebody in here this morning? The last chance for a piece of bread. The last chance for a piece of bread. Finally, this morning is this. It's not only the five loaves and the final supper, but when we get to Luke, I just hadn't occurred to me. I'd read it, I don't know how many times, but it just had not occurred to me. That they're walking on, the two disciples are walking on the Emmaus Road. And for the life of me, I think Cleopas, somebody remember somebody by that name? That is Joe's daddy's name. I mean Tony. Cleopas Wilson. First time I met him, I walked in the church down there on the bypass at Livingston. I was going to preach revival. He said, are you the preacher?
I said, yeah, I guess I am. He said, are you going to preach this revival? I said, I'm going to do my best. Well, I hope you do. Yeah, that was him. But I think Cleopas got his wife with him here. A lot of people just think it's another disciple, and often we think disciples as being the men, but later on it tells that his wife's name was Mary. And what turned me to thinking that, and I may be wrong on that, but it's just where my heart's at, and they drew nigh to the village where they went, and he made for as though he would go further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. In other words, this is where we stay. This is where we stay. We want you to come in. I thought, hey, look here. I think it's better when it's the husband and wife team right here. If that's not important, God would have never set it up in the beginning of that book. And here's what they said. For it's toward evening. Night time had come. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat, he took bread. And as his order was, he blessed it. And he broke it. You know what this is? It's the first communion service. We've seen the five loaves broken. We've seen the final supper. This has got to be the first communion, because nobody else is breaking bread with him till right here. And here he is. You know what he's doing? He's breaking bread. First, he blesses it. He won't ever break anything he hasn't blessed. That goes against our nature. But he'll bless it, and then he'll break it. And you know what happened right here to them? When he broke the bread, their eyes were open. They had this, what I mentioned earlier. They had understanding. They understood. Now, I can't answer everyone's questions as to why God breaks things that he breaks and takes things that he takes and leaves things that he leaves. I'm not God. I don't know. But I know this. Bless God, everything he does, if I'm his, and that's a big if I'm his, everything he does in my life is for his glory. And eventually, it's going to be for my good. And I don't see it. And I don't understand it. And things I don't understand. But I know this. Praise God. When he broke that bread and they'd seen him break it, they begin to understand. Their eyes were open to understanding. And they had no doubt who it was that had broke that bread before them. We blame a lot of things on the devil, and God says, hey, look here. I'm doing this for me. Verse 31 and verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. But you know what the breaking done? Stay with me just a few more minutes. Do you know what the breaking done? It brought unity. The breaking and the understanding brought unity to the body of the Lord. How do you know that? Acts chapter 1, we find it. You know where they're at? They're all in one accord and one mind in prayer. The prayer there means worship, making supplications, which means to ask. So we would read it, prayer and supplication, in one accord, making prayer and supplication. That means to worship and ask or beg. And they're worshiping, they're asking, begging, and they're all in one mind and one accord. You know why? Because they understood. And what did it bring? You know what brings division? Let me give you an example. We say something, and we don't mean it the way it's received. And somebody thinks, they hate my guts. And a prime example of that is that thing they call Facebook. They post something on there, and a lot of people, that's their church. You can write praise the Lord on there 5,000 times, but if you ain't doing it from your heart and doing something for the glory of God, friend, you just well toss that thing in the river. But they need an explanation of why it is they said what they said. And I found out when an explanation is given and they come to understanding, how often that brings unity. That don't have anything to do with breaking bread. Oh, yeah, it does. Yes, it does. It was the blessing, and it was the breaking, and it brought understanding. As soon as he broke that bread, they knew. You know what we do when we gather in here? We try to break bread. And often I'll say to the man that's going to stand behind the desk, he's going to come and break the bread of life to us. And you know what I hope that it does for all of us? It brings, it gives understanding to us why we are where we're at and why we're going through what we're going through. And we may not get all the answers right now, but down the road we'll get the answers. I know that for sure because what Paul said in Romans 8 when he said, I reckon the suffering, he's country boy, I reckon the suffering of this present time isn't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Because he blessed it, and then he broke it. But he always gave it to somebody. He always gave it to somebody. He didn't break it for no reason. He didn't break it just to be broken. He broke it to give it to somebody. And he blessed it before he broke it. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. What do we call ourselves often concerning the church? We call ourselves the body of Christ. We call ourselves the body of Christ. And you know what God does with the body? He breaks it. And he gives a little of it away. He breaks this piece. He'll bless it before he breaks it. And he gives that away. And he takes this piece here and he puts that piece over there. We were standing here in a revival, in a camp meeting. Now, I can't keep them all straight. The first one was 2011. So it was 13, 14, right in there somewhere. My daddy died in 13. I remember that. And so it was 14, maybe 15, somewhere in there. And Mike Blanton's up here preaching that night, and he was throwing out pieces of bread. And he had bread laying all over the altar. He had bread all over the place. I was sitting right there in the chair, and he threw a piece of bread, and I missed the bread. I had my handkerchief in my hand, and I jumped down and got the piece of bread, and I was walking down the path right here, and I was giving bread. I'd breaking off a piece and giving it to whoever take it. I've still got a piece of that bread. It hasn't molded or nothing. It has just dried out. It's hard as a brick. And I've got a piece of that bread that's in my drawer where I keep my tie chains and my watches. And there's that piece of bread. And when I open that drawer, I remember the one that gave me the piece of bread. Glory to God. Every time we open that book, you know what it is? It's the bread of life. And every time we open that book, you break it. You ever hear this? You break it open, praise God. And when you do, you get a piece of bread. You know what the Lord wants this morning? He wants you to have a piece of bread. But you can't get a piece of bread if you don't do what he said. So he's broke some things. He took some people. Some people been injured. The king said in Matthew 21:44, whosoever shall fall upon this rock or this stone, that'd be Jesus, he said, they shall be broken. God's nigh them that be of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I felt a little guilty. I'm feeling a little better. My shots worked. I'm not well, but I'm better than I was. I'm not limping. I can walk up and down steps. To the God be the glory. I'm telling you, that medicine, I went down, I put the lump of figs on the boil, but if God hadn't have touched it, Randy, it had never worked. I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm going to take advantage of it. My point being this. I'm feeling a little guilty about not being in meetings. I've already canceled. When I first canceled them all, I thought I was going to have a hip replacement. I didn't want to leave them guys hanging, trying to find a preacher 3 days before the meeting. No, so I canceled it. Everything. And I was feeling a little guilty about that because I think God breaks us for a purpose. And I was asking God to break me back earlier in the year, Jay, but my thought was, I want you to break me spiritually. Well, sometimes what we ask for and what he does, we don't understand, but I'm telling you, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And my mind goes back to this. To Roger Duncan, and Seth and Randall and I went to see Roger, and it might have been the last time he preached. And we were at Sweeten Hill. He and Mike Blanton were down there together. And Roger couldn't preach. He couldn't preach. His thoughts weren't clear. His thoughts weren't clear. He couldn't understand. He's having trouble. He told a story or two, and I knew the stories better than he did, and they weren't even the same stories. He got them mixed up. I didn't understand that. And I looked at that man of God, who had been nothing but a soldier, and he has promoted many men. Mike McCoy had never left the surrounding counties of Crossville, Tennessee, had it not been for Roger Duncan. God used Roger to launch and put together an entire group of preachers. And I didn't understand it, Randy. But I thought this. You know what God done that day, Jake? He gave me a little piece of that bread. I'll never lose that piece of bread, praise God. I watched old Rod. He done the very best he could. God didn't hold our abilities to the line. You know what he had? Our availability. And you know what he was? He had leukemia. He had Parkinson's. He had diabetes. Blood sugar out of control. All these things going on in his body at that time. And you know what he done? When it come time to preach, he just walked up to the stand and stood there and looked at the people. And there's that broken piece of bread. How God bless the broken piece. You know what happened when he got to glory that day? He put the loaf back together. And you know what it looks like today? It looks better than a cinnamon crunch bagel behind the glass at Panera Bread. He's shining and looking good. Everybody'd want a bite of that bread. Hey, Raji's looking just fine. You wouldn't recognize him today from that broken thing. We're the same way. We don't recognize it. But God knows today what he's going to do with us. He don't do it for your glory. He does it for his. That's why he does it. We don't get ours here. If we do, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We get ours on the other side. Brenna. We'll get a song in just a minute, Marcus. I'm just going to let her play right now. Pick something, you'll pick the right one. With your heads bowed in the sanctuary today, can I ask you a question? Personal. I'm going to get right down where you live. Are you broken about anything concerning the Lord? So I don't want to be broken. Well, just stay the way you are. The whole loaf doesn't do anybody any good. Oh, it looks good sitting on the shelf, but it's of no benefit. You can't give your bread away unless you break a piece of it off. I wonder who'd be first this morning to come to an altar of prayer and say, God, enable me to give away the bread. Jesus said, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. Oh, the whole loaf looks better. It's buttered down. It's shiny. It's warm. It smells good. It looks good. And people starve to death looking at it. But oh, when God begins to break a piece of it off and give it to somebody. See, if we belong to him, we're in him and he's in us. And it's his body. And it's his bread. Maybe you're here and you've been broken in the past, but you've just, where you're at, you've been there for a long time. You haven't moved, haven't been stirred of God. We'll never see anybody saved looking good. It's when we break a break in the bread. When he broke the bread, they understood. They seen it. And they didn't die wealthy living in mansions. No, but they died bringing sheaves with them by the thousands. Others need to come. The altar's full. Maybe you need to come this morning. God dealing with you right now. God dealing with you right now. You know, you need to come and say, Lord, I don't want to be broken. I don't want you to hurt me, Lord, but just give a little piece of bread. You don't know what God's going to do with it. You're hearing you're unsaved this morning, would you come and taste the bread? Would you come and taste the bread? Would you come and say, Lord, I've never been saved. Give me a bite of bread. The living bread. He said, I'm the bread of life. I want to take a bite of your flesh, Lord. That'd be the word of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he'll say, have a bite. You never hunger. Do you need to come? Do you need a bite of bread today? Now come and get the song, Marcus. And if you can sing it, that song right there would be perfect. Let's stand to our feet all over the sanctuary. If you need to pray, you ought to come. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.